Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We had learned in our Mishnah a Machlokes Tanoim in the event that two witnesses tell someone that you ate chalev, and the defendant denies. The Chachamim said that the two witnesses win out. The Rebbe Meir says that the two witnesses win out, and he, the defendant, will be obligated to bring a korban chatos. Rebbe Meir's argument was based on a kal v'chomer, namely, if two witnesses can bring someone to the death penalty, then certainly they can bring him to a situation that he'll be chayev in bringing a korban chatos. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, said that no, the defendant is believed, even though he's going up against two witnesses. Before learning the Gemara itself, we have a topic heading that introduces this section, and you can see this by looking at the outside margin of your Gemara. We provide a topic heading and structural notes. Topic headings refer to by the term nosei, and structural notes refer to by the term mivne. In this case, under our topic heading, we have written she'ela. The Gemara will raise a question. My taima, the Rabbanon, why do the Rabbanon hold Adam Ne'emon Neged Shnei Edim Lomar Lo Achalti Chelev, that the defendant is granted believability against two witnesses in his claim to say that he did not eat the Chelev? Is it because Mishum the Adam Ne'emon Be'inyan Kapora Yoser Mimeo Ish, that when it comes to an issue of bringing a sacrifice, a person is believed on himself more than 100 people? O Mishum Migu, or is it because you ought to believe him in what he says because he could have said something else that would have been a winning argument? The Gemara, and you'll notice structurally, opens up with a very long question that's illustrated by the shin that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, three lines from the top, and a vertical dashed line follows, indicating that all of the lines that follow are part of the question. There will be a long bracketed section within this long question, which presents the nafgamina, the practical difference between the two sides raised in the question. So the question itself lasts a few lines, and then the Gemara brings a great deal of background to the understanding of the question, following which the Gemara then simply restates the question in one word and says, "My." So what is the basis of the Rabbanon? Following that, you will notice triangles that appear in varying directions. On the outside margin, under the Mivne heading, you'll notice the triangle is featured. With the point facing up, Nisyonos Lifshot She'elo Hanal. These will be attempts to resolve the question. And with the point flipped over, they represent the Chios. They are rejections of what was said. You'll notice that this style, this give-and-take style of Gemara, will continue till the top of Omid Beis. So now, let us begin the Gemara. On the second line from the top, the Dibur HaMasfil is Omar Rabbi Meir, Kal V'Chomer, that in the Mishnah Rabbi Meir was saying that two witnesses will certainly be believed. However, the V'chule indicates the Shitas Chachomim that follows, they held that they had responded to Rebbe Meir, or they stood in opposition to Rebbe Meir, that said, no, the defendant himself will be believed. Here the Gemara asks, on the third line from the top, Ibaya leho mai taimo de Rabbanon. What is the reason for the Rabbanon that an individual could be believed against the otherwise all-powerful two witnesses? In Jewish law, two witnesses are believed like 100 witnesses. So why in this case, when it comes to the claim of having eaten chilev, do the Rabbanon give greater strength to the defendant? So there are now two possibilities. Is it mishum de adam nemon al atzmo yoser mimea ish? Is it that a person is believed regarding himself more than even 100 people? Rashi at the top says, Adam Nemon al Atzmo bidvorim sheshpem kapora, in matters that involve the bringing of a sacrifice for atonement, lo mimna lesuye chatos liskapir neged kono. A person, if he really needed atonement, he wouldn't deny that. He would bring it. He would want to bring it. He wouldn't withhold himself. So if someone is claiming that he didn't eat the chelev, believe him, because otherwise, what's the other possibility, that he'll have to bring a sacrifice because he really did eat the chelev? He'll want to bring the sacrifice. So is the reason of the Rabbanan because a person is simply believed in matters of kapora, of atonement? Oi dilma mishum de amrinon, or is it because we say migu de e boy omar mezit hoisi potter ki omar nami lo achalti mehemon u potter? Or is it when you hear a person saying, I did not, in other words, you hear him denying or contradicting the witnesses, if you suspect that he is lying because he doesn't want to bring a sacrifice, he could have countered, or he could have spoken up after the witnesses testified without challenging them and still have been exempt. Why does he bother contradicting them? If his whole goal is to get out of bringing a sacrifice and is willing to lie about that, he could have simply said, I ate it like you said, in agreement with the witnesses, but I ate it knowingly. That's bemazed. And when a person violates a sin knowingly, so he doesn't have to bring a sacrifice. So if this defendant's goal in saying, I did not eat, was simply to get out of bringing the sacrifice, he would have had a better taina, a better way of doing that. That's what we mean by migu, since he had a better way of getting out of it, and he didn't say that. So it must be that he is telling the truth. So we have just learned two possibilities, either because a person is simply believed when it comes to matters of atonement, or the person is believed because he had a better argument, a more believable argument, an argument that wouldn't have challenged the witnesses to begin with. After the bracketed section, you can see the length of this section is indicated by the bracket length indicator. You can see a long vertical dash dotted line, at the end of which the brackets closes in the middle of that line. And then the Gemara will simply ask again, my, what is the din? In the meantime, within this bracketed section, the Gemara asks, umai nafka mina, what is the difference between the two reasons? Lemifshat mino letuma. The difference, or the practical difference, or the manifestation of the difference, will be with regard to resolving a matter or testimony concerning becoming tomei, ritual defilement. Rashi, on the third line from the top, says at the end of the line, Lituma, Kagon Omrulo, two witnesses tell someone, Nitmesa, Umiyad, Bosa, Lamikdosh. where they tell him, you became Tomei and immediately entered the Beis HaMikdash. The Hu Omer Lo Nitmesi, and he would respond to them, I was not Tomei, I did not become Tomei. So now, using that case as the focus of our upcoming discussion, we will then see the nafka mina, the difference between the two hesberim we gave. Let's just review the case. Two witnesses tell someone, you know, you became Tomei and immediately entered the Beis HaMikdash. And the defendant would say, Lo Nitmesi. Literally, I did not become Tomei. But we might be losing something by using a translation, as you'll see later in the Gemara. So in Hebrew, he says, Lo Nitmesi. Now, the Gemara goes on. We used a dashed underline, D'Amris, and then later V'I'Amris, to show the two sides of the analysis. D'I'Amris tamayu d'rabonon mishum d'odom ne'mon al atzmo yoyser mimeo ish. If you say that the reason for the Rabbonon's giving the defendant believability is because a person is believed more than 100 others when it comes to matters of atonement, and entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah is something that obligates someone in bringing a sin offering. So if it is because a person simply has believability when it comes to matters involving a sin offering, including the girsa, afilu tuma nami odom nemon al atzmo, even with regard to tuma, a person will be believed, veloishno tuma chadosha, veloishno tuma yishana. And we won't make any distinction between Tumah Chadosha, which is a reference to Tumah that happened today, and Tumah Yishana is a reference to Tumah that he encountered yesterday or earlier, whereby they were, in Tumah Yishana, they were telling the defendant, you know, yesterday you became Tomei, and today you entered the Beis HaMikdash. So that if you say the believability of the defendant is based on Odom Ne'mon al-Atzmo regarding Kapora more than 100 people, there'll be no reason for making any distinction. V'i'amris tamayu d'rabonon mishum domar migu hi. If you say that the reason the Rabbonon give the defendant believability is because of the potential for a better type argument, ki patri le Rabbonon, the Rabbonon in this example will offer exemption, mituma yeshana, only in the case of a claim that he had become Tomei yesterday, avo mituma chadosha mechayev. But if the witnesses were claiming you became Tomei today and entered the Beis HaMikdash, then he will be obligated to bring a sacrifice, mai taima, and the Gemara now explains the difference. You can see we've underlined we've underlined Tuma Yeshana and then later Tuma Chadosha to accentuate the contrast. That in the case of Tuma Yeshana, there is a migu, a way to get out of their testimony, and not the case in Tuma Chadosha. So the Gemara explains. In Tumo Yishona, Migu di'i boy Omar Tovalti Potter, since he could have responded to the witnesses who said, you know, yesterday you became Tomei, and today you entered the Beis HaMikdash, he could have said, you know, you're right. He could have said, instead of saying Lo Nitmesi, he could have said something else that would have been believed, because he wouldn't have been countering the witnesses to begin with. He could have said, you know, you guys are right, I became Tomei yesterday, but in the meantime I went to the mikveh, and there was then sundown, and today I am Tomei free, and therefore my entrance today to the Beis HaMikdash is without any problem. Therefore, ki omar nami lo nitmesi poter, when he says I didn't become Tomei at all, he will likewise be exempt. Once again, why? Why when he says Lo Nitmesi is exempt? Because he could have said that he could have offered a much better claim, that I immersed myself in the mikveh yesterday, and today's entrance into the Beis Hamikdash was allowed. Let's read that last phrase again. Ki omar nami lo nitmesi poter. De'ika lememar, because using that very phrase that he says, lo nitmesi, you could say, my lo nitmesi dekomar, what is meant by lo nitmesi? Lo omadati betumasi elo tavalti. So taking his very phrase that he said, when they said to him, you know, yesterday you became Tomei, and today you went into the Beis Hamikdash, and he said back to them, lo nitmesi, what does lo nitmesi mean? Lo nitmesi means I didn't continue in my tumah because I went to the mikveh, and after sundown, thereby purifies me. So that we're taking the very phrase that he said in against the witnesses and showing how that phrase could have been reinterpreted to represent something that doesn't contradict the witnesses in the first place. Avol tuma chadosha mechayev. But in the case of tuma chadosha, that means tuma that he encountered today, where they testify, you became tummy today and entered the Beis Hamikdash, my time mechayev. The defendant will be chayev to bring a sacrifice. My taimo, dechi omar nami tovalti, even if he were to say, okay, I went to the mikveh, that wouldn't help, because the testimony concerns a current tumah. He would be mechayev, the omru le'edim, the edim are telling him, hashto nitmesa, today you became tomei, and you entered the Beis Hamikdash, and even if you did go to the mikveh, you still don't have sundown, which is an integral stage in purification. So, what is the underlying reason of the Rabbanan? Is it, as we said before, simply because a person has believability in matters that are korban-related, atonement-related? And if that were the case, so that in the example of the witness is saying nitmesa, we would make no distinction between tumah chadosha and tumah yeshana, or do we say that the reason for a person's believability when he goes up against the witnesses is because he, in that which he says, he could have said something better, and we his having tainted, his having said something less believable is therefore accepted, because if his real intent was to get out of bringing a sacrifice, he would have offered a better kind of argument. So the question then is, what is the din? Toshma. The Gemara now tries to resolve this. However, before we go further in the Gemara, it would be of value for us to learn the Rashi. Dibor Masel Tumo Chadosha, the first narrow line, in the case of Tumo Chadosha, where the witnesses say, today you became Tomei and entered the Beis HaMikdash, Leko Mishumigu, the Tovalti Leko Lameimar, the Tovalti answer that he could have given doesn't exist. In other words, the Migu doesn't exist. Migu meaning the better, since he could have given a better answer. In the case of Tuma Chadosha, the Tovalti approach doesn't apply. The Ha'omrulo, they told him, Bishas Tuma Nichnasta, Binami Tovalta Loher of Shimshcha. They're telling him, you know, today you became Tomei, and today you entered the Beis Hamikdash, and even if you had gone to the mikveh, you still don't have the sunset element which completes the purification. A tful yom, which is the title given to someone who immersed in a mikveh but didn't experience sundown yet, is guilty if he goes into the Beis Hamikdash. We now turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara, as we said, is going to try to resolve what is the basis of the Rabbanan. So we have a quote, and you see a Tanaic source as it appears in a frame. Omru loy a omar lo eidechot nitmesa. One witness says, you became tamei, vehu omer lo nitmesi. and he says, I did not become Tomei Potter, so he is exempt from bringing a sacrifice. Yochal afilu shnayim, would the same apply if two were telling him that you became Tomei? Omer Rabbi Meir, Kavachomer. In the case of two, he certainly will not be believed against them. Im heviu shnayim lemisa chamura lo yaveu lidei korban akal. If two witnesses can bring someone to the death penalty, certainly they will be able to obligate him in bringing a sacrifice. V'chachomim omrim odom ne'mon al atzmo yoyser mimea ish. This would be a very clear statement if we were to stop over here. Here it says that the Chachamim's opinion of the individual's, the defendant's, exemption is because he simply has believability regarding matters of exemption, of atonement. Shma mina, we would conclude, Tamayu d'Rabbona mishum di'amri, odom ne'mon al atzmo yosir mimeo ish. This would be like the first of the two approaches that we saw at the top of this page. The triangle now flips over, and you can see this is called a dechiyah, rejection. Omar Rabbi Ami, lo'olam tamayu d'Rabbonon mishum d'amrinon migu. The reason for the Rabbonon's believing someone against two witnesses is because of the migu possibility, meaning migu, since he could have said something else that would have been more believable, or he could have explained his statement that he made to the witnesses in such a way that we would have to accept it. And we have to add over here that the argument between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim regarding the case of Nitmesa involves Tuma Yishona. That's a premise that we have to accept. V'hochi kotoni, and thusly, the source is to be read. The source, meaning the last source we just saw in the frame, is now reread. Mitoch she'im rotzo lomar. Since, if he wanted to say, he could have said, lo omadati betumasi. I didn't continue in my tumah because I went to the mikveh yesterday. Potter, he would be exempt. Hilkoch odom ne'mon al atzmo yosir mimeish. Because he had this alternative a way of saying things, he is therefore believed more than even 100 other people. But the emphasis is that the source was in fact talking about a migu type claim. Well, the Gemara asks, Ihochi hainu chelev. Well, if that's the case, so then it's the same as the case of the chelev that's already featured in the Mishnah. What do I need to have two examples taught for? If we look in the Rashi, a little less than halfway down, there's an abbreviated Dibra Masel Ihochi, Degabi Tuma Baha Pligi, to Rabbi Meir Lesle Migu Vrabon and Islu Migu, that the Rabbon and Rabbi Meir are arguing concerning the how much power do we assign to the migu? Hainu chelev de masnisin. Well, that's the same as the case of chelev that appeared in the Mishnah. We already saw that if they told someone, witnesses told someone, you know, you ate chelev, and he says, I did not. Rabbi Meir said he's obligated, and the Rabbanan said he's exempt because he could have said meizid hoyisi, because he could have said I ate it knowingly. That's a migu. So in the case of the chelev section, we see Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim arguing regarding the strength we assign to the migu possibility. Why then would I need in the case of tuma to have that argument repeated? So the Gemara answers, Mahu de Tema, lo ochalti chilev kometaretz diburei, when the defendant says lo ochalti chilev, had I had just the chilev case and not the tumah case, I would have thought that in that case we say that we'll accept the migu because we have a way of preserving his initial denial in such a way that he won't be running up against or contradicting the witnesses, and that's why he's believed. So, in the case of Chelev, his kometaretz diburi means we could resolve his initial claim in a smooth fashion. Thusly, lo achalti shogeg el amazin, that when he initially said, I did not eat, his initial denial really wasn't a challenge to the witnesses because he was agreeing with them. When they said, you did eat, he said, yeah, you're right, I did eat, but I didn't eat unwittingly, rather I ate knowingly. So that we're preserving his original comment, showing that he never really contradicted the witnesses, and as far as knowing with what intent he ate it, only he could really tell us about that, and thereby he's not countering the witnesses. Avol nitmesa vuomer lo nitmesi. However, had I not been taught the case of tumah, and I would have just imagined two witnesses saying to him, you became tumah, and he says lo nitmesi, amor, I would have thought lo kometaretz dibure, that with that kind of comment, he has no way of straightening out his claim, and therefore the migu idea doesn't apply. Let's just review the main point, which we might not have articulated clearly before, but that the concept of migu, that believe me because I could have said something else more believable, that's all fine and good, provided we can somehow resolve his initial challenge to the witnesses. In the case of his initial claim of lo nitmesi, how can we possibly preserve that original comment of his and show how he's not really contradicting the witnesses? So I would have thought that that cannot be done. Komash malon hocha nami, the Tanaic source that we read above informs us that in the case of tuma also, lo omadati betumasi elo tavalti, that when he says lo nitmesi, he in effect is not contradicting the witnesses, because his comment of lo nitmesi means I didn't continue in my tumah, I didn't continue because I had already went to the mikvah. So in the meantime, we still don't have a definitive explanation of the shitas chachomim. Toshma. We might want to say we don't have a definitive explanation of the shitas chachomim when a single defendant counters the claim of two witnesses. We do know that the chachomim give him the believability, but based on what? Is it because a person is simply believed on himself when it comes to matters of atonement against even 100 others? Or is it based on the potential that he had for a better claim? Toshma, we have another attempt. This is a new source being brought in to start off this phase of the discussion. That's why we call this number two in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a triangle number two because here we're introducing the second source. Following this, there will be more discussion. But the source says, "V'hisvado." This pasuk is in the context of someone who had been mitame the mikdash, meaning he entered the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah. We call this tumas mikdash. "V'hisvado." Moide bedover chayov, eino moide bedover poter. One who concedes, then he's chayev to bring a sacrifice, and eino mode, if he denies, he does not bring a sacrifice. Omalei eid echod nitmesa. One witness says, you became tomei, v'hu omer lo nitmesi, and the defendant denies it. Potter, he will be exempt. He's eino mode badovar. Yochel afilu shnayim umakchishon? Could it be that even if two claim that this defendant became tomei and he, the individual, the defendant, denies, will he also be exempt? Om Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, no, he won't. Im heviuhu shnayim lidei miso chamur, if two are capable of bringing someone to the death penalty, lo yeviuhu lidei korban akal, should they not be able to bring him to the obligation of bringing a sacrifice, which is a lesser issue, certainly they will be believed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nemon Odom al Atzmo Yoiser Mimeo Ish. A person is believed regarding himself more than even 100 others. Umoidim Chachomim L'Rebbe Yehuda. The Chachomim will agree to Rabbi Yehuda that a person, a defendant, is believed b'chalovin u'b'bias mikdash, with regard to a claim of having of defendant having eaten chalev, and with regard to matters of entering the Beis HaMikdash. These are two areas that would result in the bringing of a sacrifice. Avol b'tumah loy modu lei, but with regard to the basic fact of his having become tumah, simple tumah, will say, in other words, without the issue of having entered the Beis HaMikdash, but simply two witnesses say, you became tomei. And he says back, I did not become tomei. In that case, the defendant won't be believed. Uvemai askinon. What are the circumstances? What are we dealing with here? Ilema betuma yeshana. If you're dealing with tuma that may have happened, that happened yesterday, maishno chalovin ubeis hamigdosh de module. What is different about the case of chalovin, the eating of chalev or entrance to the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tuma, that the Chachomim agree with Rabbi Yehuda concerning the defendant's believability? Why there is he believed? The Imrotza Yoimar Mezid Hoisi. Had he wanted to, he could have said, I did this knowingly. In other words, I ate the Chalev knowingly. In other words, when he said to them, I did not eat it, he basically, we can explain his comment in a non-contradictory way, contradictory to the witnesses, by saying that the lo achalti means I didn't do so by mistake, but rather I did so knowingly. Well, tuma yishona nami mitaretz diburei, with regard to the issue of his having become tomei, if you're dealing with tuma yishona, and he countered by saying lo nitmesi, we could have also explained his remark, de'im rotza yoimar, if he had wanted to, he could have said lo omadeti betum osi elo tovalti, that I didn't stay within my tumah because I had immersed myself in a mikvah. And yet, in the source, we see that the Chachamim don't concede to Rabbi Yehuda regarding the case of tumah. And because of that, we see that the reason of the Chachamim of believing the defendant is based on a person's believability upon himself, regarding himself, when it comes to matters of atonement. So, being that the Chalovin and the Bias Mikdash examples were atonement related, those resulted in the bringing of a korban, so he is believed. However, regarding an issue that's non-korban related, like the issue of did he become tamei or not, without any additional issues of entering the Beis HaMikdash, there he's not believed, so that the reason for the Chumim is not Migu-oriented, is not Migu-centered, but it's rather because of this issue of Odom Nemon Al-Atzmoy. Omar Ravina. Ravina rejects this and says, Le'oilom betumo yishana. We really are talking about a case of tumo yishana. And if you'll ask then why is there a distinction between the case of Chalovim and Bias Mikdash versus the issue of simple Tumah? Well, there's a case of Tumah Yishona where there is no Migu. Ukigoin di Amri le Edim, it is where witnesses tell him that you became Tomei yesterday, and you also ate Ochalta Kochim Betumas Aguf, and you ate sacrificial meat in a state of Tumah. Before going further in the Gemara, let's just glance at the Rashi on the upper part of the page, second line from the top. Omar Ravina, the Oilom Tumah Mishum Taima Mishum Migu. The reason of the Chachamim is in fact a Migu-based argument, that believe him because he could have said something else. B'chalovim lias mikdash iko migu. In the case of chalovim besa mikdash, there is a migu. When he says, I did not eat, or I did not enter, he really meant to say, d'lo nichnasti shoyigomez, I didn't enter in a state of mistake, or rather, I entered knowingly. V'gabi tuma d'lo module. But with regard to the case of Tumah that the Chachamim don't concede to Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Deleko Migu, because we're lacking, in that case, the Migu. The Afagav Deshayech Bei Korban, even though it is in a case that involves a sacrifice. Ika Tumah Yishona, there still is a case where we're saying that Shayach Bei Korban, there is a case of Tuma Yishana, the less Bomigu, Kigon, Omru Lo, Achalta Kochim, where they tell him, you know, you ate sacrificial meat. There's a note that we have here to look at Rashi at the on Omid Aleph, where you see in the Gemara text, there's a Rashi that's basically out of place. We have this noted on the lower part of Omid Aleph. On the lower part, you'll notice a squiggled box around the section in Rashi, which is, as we said, out of place. Omar Ravina, Le'olam, I'm reading from Rashi now, Le'olam Ika, Yishana, Deles Bomigu. There is a case of Tuma Yishana, where there is no Migu type explanation. Okugondi Omru Lo Nitmeso Esmoil Vochalta Hayom Kochim. You became Tomei yesterday and you ate sacrificial meat today. Dahainu Tumas Haguf Umischayeves Chatos, and because you ate sacrificial meat in a state of bodily Tumah, you have to bring a sacrifice. Vuhu Omer Lo Nitmesi, and he says back to them, I did not become Tomei. V'akshinu, and he is attempting to counter them, bein v'achila, bein b'negia, whether it be regarding the eating or the touching, the contact with the Tumah. V'lo ochal, v'lo noga, or we should not contact with Tumah, contact with the flesh, with the meat of the korban. He's arguing with them, I didn't eat and I didn't touch. V'lo ochal, v'lo noga, kochim b'tumah. V'chi hodar v'omar, and when he then says in his second claim, he says, lo nitmesi, the koamino, the lo nitmesi that I said to you is lo omadati b'tumah, shetovalti, I didn't stay within my state of tumah because I had gone to the mikvah. Lo komechadein elo lemiftar mikorbanu meachila. His attempt is only to exempt himself from the need of bringing a sacrifice for his having eaten the sacrificial meat in a state of tumah. The is ba korban makrish lehu. However, uminegia, the leka korban, but with regard to the issue of touching, a person who is tomei and touches sacrificial meat, though it's not a good thing, not a correct thing to do, it doesn't generate the need for a korban. It doesn't generate the need for atonement. So regarding that, he's not countering them. Ubi isura kama koi Diburei Kama Betumas Mago. With regard to that aspect, he isn't denying them. So we have an example of a Tuma Yeshona, which is not Korban related, and he doesn't have a migu in that case. We now look back at the Gemara, the fourth line from the top of Amud Beis, Omar Ravina li olam betuma yishana, and there is a case of tuma yishana where there is no migu. We could go into Amri le Edim, where the witnesses tell him ochalta kachim betumas haguf. They tell him you ate sacrificial meat through in a state of tuma. You had become tomei yesterday, and you ate today sacrificial meat. Vehu omar lahon, and he says back to them, loy nitmesi, the ochalo mitaretz dibure. Here you don't have the ability of restating his claim. The leko lemeimar, here you can't say lo omaditi betuma elo tovalti. He's where he says, when I said lo nitmesi means I didn't continue in my tuma, but rather I had gone to the mikveh. My omar lahoin, what is he in effect telling them? Tovalti vilchalti, I went to the mikveh yesterday and I ate the meat today. Ki omar lahoin hochi, when he says that to them, iskachish le dibure kamo miha, his original statement of loinit mesi is countering them, is contradicting them, betumas mago, with regard to the touching of the meat. So that, fine, he says, I went to the mikveh yesterday and I ate the meat today. That's as far as the act of eating is concerned. But as far as the act of touching the meat, which does not involve him in bringing a sacrifice, that aspect remains contradicted, because they told him that you did become tamei and you touched the meat and you ate the meat. So his claim of I did become tamei, but I also went to the mikveh, that's a response that would solve the issue of the eating, but it's not a response that would solve the issue of his having touched the korban meat. Omar Rav Nachmon halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda. Rav Nachmon rules like Rebbe Yehuda that a defendant is believed against the claim of two witnesses. And it would seem that the defendant is believed even in the case of Tumah, because the way this issue was presented at the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, it said that Rebbe Yehuda says a person is believed more than 100 witnesses. And the source said that the Chumah will concede to Rebbe Yehuda on two points, but not on the point of Tumah. So you see from there that Rebbe Yehuda's point concerning believability extends even to the issue of Tumah, which was called a non-atonement related topic. After hearing Rav Nachman rule like Rebbe Yehuda, Rav Yosef comments, Omar Rav Yosef, lo Omar Rav Yehuda, elo beino lebein atzmo. Rav Yehuda said that the individual is believed against two witnesses, even if the issue concerned simple tuma, and hence the defendant is believed when he says, I did not become tomei. This will be of benefit to the defendant only in private, namely, if he wants to eat something that requires purity, tahara, he can do so provided no one is seeing him. And that's elo beino levein atzmo u leatzmo, namely, the information or the result of his being considered tahor is only with regard to himself. So there are two points here. Beino levenasu means in private. If he wants to eat taharos, he can do so, but not in the presence of others. And likewise, only for himself, namely he cannot feed someone else something that he had touched. The reason for this qualification is because, as Rashi says, that we shouldn't come to treat matters of tahara lightly. Namely, if we see, as Rabbi Yehuda says, we believe one against many, if we see his believability in such a case, people say, oh, well, it's all because the issue of tahara is a light issue, and people will take it lightly. They won't treat this realm with severity. So therefore, we'll call this lenient ruling of Rabbi Yehuda is good, but for the individual on a private basis and only for himself. Before going on in the Gemara, we notice a new series of markings. We see diamonds and double underlines that appear, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we feature the diamond features Mikrim, cases Rabbi Meir Moide Shepoter Mikarbon Mishum Diyesh Lo Migu. Even though Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah regarding the challenge to the two witnesses in the case of U8 Chelev, Rabbi Meir does not give believability to the defendant, there are cases that Rabbi Meir will give believability, will grant the individual with believability. We have a double underline featuring the statement Moida Rabbi Meir Lechachomim, so that the diamond introduces the names of those who give us cases where Rabbi Meir concedes to the Chachomim. We'll also be using a dashed underline for highlighting what the alternative testimony or comment he could have made, that the defendant could have made against the witnesses. The E boy Omar, had he wanted, he could have said. So now we turn to the Gemara for three cases that Rabbi Meir would concede to the Chachamim and believe the defendant against the witnesses. Omar Reish Lakish, Moida Rabbi Meir LeChachamim, Shim Omru Lo Shnayim Bo Alta Shivcha Harufa, that they say to him, you had intimacy with a Shivcha Harufa. Vehu Omer, a Shivcha Harufa is something we discussed in previous Shiurim. This is a reference to a bond made for whom it is forbidden for a common Jew to have intimacy. So if two said you had intimacy with the bond maid, Vehu Omer Lo Baalti Mehemon, he says, I didn't have intimacy with her, so he's believed. The E boy Omar Lahon, Lo Gamarti Biosi. He could have said to them, basically, you're right in your claim that I had some form of intimacy with the Shifcha Harufa, but I didn't complete the insertion, the male insertion. And as such, in the case of Shifcha Harufa, there is no penalty for a partial act of intimacy. Rashi adds something important here under the Dibur Maschil Moide Rabbi Meir, a few lines up. He says, Avo Migu de Masnisin Lo Omar, but the Migu of the Mishnah, there Rabbi Meir doesn't agree. What happened again in the Mishnah? Two witnesses say, you ate chalev, and the defendant says, Lo Ochalti, I did not eat. According to the Chachomim, we believe the claim of Lo Ochalti because he could have said Lo Ochalti Shogeg Elamezit. In other words, I ate it, like you witnesses say, but I did it willingly. So that when he says, I did not eat it, we believe him. Because if his whole point was to simply lie in and get out of bringing a sacrifice, the Chachamim said he could have said, I ate it knowingly. Rabbi Meir, though, says that kind of alternative claim a person would never have made. The noyach loy l'shakir lomar lo achalti, Rashi says, it's easier for a person to say, simply deny it, I did not eat it, me'asois rosha v'lomar meizid hoya, then make himself into a wicked person by saying, yeah, I ate it willingly. so that the element of mitaretz dibure that we spoke about before under the Chachamim, you don't have, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, in that case, in the case of the Chelef, because in order for him to ultimately gain believability, he would have had to come on to the claim of, I had eaten it bemazed, willingly. And Rabbi Meir feels a person would never ever have said that, and therefore when a person doesn't have or wouldn't have ever used the alternative claim, that takes away his believability. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Sheshes, Moide Rabbi Meir Lechachomim, Benozir Tomei, a Nozir is someone who accepted by vow a restriction in drinking wine and exposing himself to the defilement of the dead. A Nozir, who was approached by two witnesses, Sha'om lo shnaim nitmesa, two witnesses say, you became Tomei. They say this to a Nozir. Vu omer lo nitmesi, and he says back to them, no, I did not become Tomei, Potter. He'll be exempt from the sacrifices that a Nozir Tomei would have to bring. The boy Omar, he could have said, Nish'alti al Naziri, that when I said lo nitmesi, I meant to say that I didn't continue in my Nazirs because I had already sought the voiding or the cancellation of my Nazirs by approaching a sage. As many of you may know, a sage is vested with the power by the Torah to annul people's vows. And Nazirus is an example of a vow. So since he had this alternative claim, even Rabbi Meir agrees that here he is believed. And therefore when he says, Lo nitmesi, he's saying to the witnesses, I didn't become Tomei while I was still a Nozir, because I had already annulled the vow. So that when once again we see an example of the defendant not challenging the words of the witnesses. The witnesses said, you became Tomei. He in effect is saying, yes, I exposed myself to Tumah, but I had already absolved the Nazirus vow. And when I initially said Lo nitmesi, I meant to say I didn't become Tomei while I was still a Nozir. But I'm not countering what you witnesses claimed. Hence, he is believed. Omar Abaye, Moide Rabbi Meir Lechachomim, a third example, Shim Omulo Shnayim Yodea Tobe Edus Ploni, two witnesses say, you know testimony for the benefit of so-and-so, Vu Omer Lo Yodati, says, I don't know testimony. Potter. Now, in general, maybe a word of introduction, a person who knows testimony for someone else's benefit and then denies knowledge of testimony under oath when he really does know testimony. So, in principle, he's obligated to bring a sacrifice for that lie. That's the realm of Shvuas Ha'edus that we've touched on in the past. So in this case, where two witnesses said, you know testimony to benefit so-and-so, and he says, lo yodati, I don't know, he's exempt. The Iboy Omar, he could have said, this defendant could have said, lo niskavanti le'edus, that I didn't have in mind when I saw the event to serve as a witness, and someone like that isn't suitable to be a witness to begin with. So that when he initially said, Lo Yodati, I didn't know the testimony, he meant to say, I didn't know the testimony with the intent of serving as a witness. So that if someone merely sees something without any intent to serve as a witness on it, when he eventually denies knowing the information, he in fact is exempt. We now turn to a new topic. This was featured in the Mishnah as a It's a totally separate topic, and we had noted it with our markings in the Mishnah itself. Before going on in the Gemara, we will take note of some of the structural elements. You'll see shortly a Roman numeral number 1, a few lines later a squiggle on line expression indicating a second version, Iko de Makshi Lehochi, with a Roman numeral number 2. These are featured on the side of the Gemara. There are no Se Mivne heading. The Roman numerals are featured. Shnei Lishonos Bekushiois, two versions with regard to questions, Beinyan Ochal Shnei Zeise Chelev Behelem Echad, where a person ate two olive quantities of chelev in one state of lack of awareness. In other words, he ate one olive quantity, and then without discovering his offense, he ate again an olive quantity of chelev. So we now turn to the Gemara. Ochal chelev v'chelev behelam achas. He ate two olive quantities of chelev in one state of lack of awareness. Maskif lo Rebbe Zera. Amai eino chayav elo chatos achas. Why do you say that he's chayav only one sin offering? V'ho shnei zeise chelev ochal. Is it not so that he ate two quantities, two olive quantities of chelev, and each olive quantity itself, is it not capable of obligating him in a separate sacrifice? Amale Abaye, ha'alamois michalkin. You'll notice the house form that we have here, and this is featured under our Nosei Mivne heading, Tshuvos Abaye b'shnei halashonos. These represent Abaye's response in both versions of the issue. So Abaye's response is that the dividing factor, the separation factor when it comes to individual sacrifices is not based on quantity alone, but it's based on was there interim knowledge. Ha'alomos. Ha'alomos literally means being hidden. It means separate situations of lack of knowledge. And that, what do we mean by separate situations? Where a person commits an offense and then afterwards discovers his error and then goes on to commit a second offense, even of the same nature, but again forgetting and only discovering later on. So you need to have that element of ha'alomos, of separate forgettings, to create a separate obligation for bringing a sacrifice, for individual sacrifices. And in this case, v'hochom helem echad hu de'ika. In our case, there weren't separate states of lack of knowledge. It was in one state of lack of knowledge he consumed the two olive quantities. Ika demakshi lehochi. There are those that present the question thusly. Taimo dehelem echad. Ha b'shtei halomos. Chayav Shtayim. Had the individual eaten the two olive quantities of chelev in two states of lack of knowledge, he would have been obligated to bring two chatos. Amai, but why? Why should he bring two? Shame chelev echad hu. At the end of the day, he violated only one realm of prohibition. Shame chelev would be literally the name chelev, or the realm of chelev. So he only violated one realm. Amale Abaye answers, ha'alomos michalkin. The fact that he had separate states of lack of awareness, that is sufficient for creating the need for multiple sacrifices, even though these are under the same heading. Ochal chelev v'dam, pigol v'noisor, chayov. On each one, he's chayav a separate sacrifice, even though he violated these four violations in one state of lack of awareness. The Mishnah goes on to say, describe a case, ochal kechatzi zayis, v'chozer v'ochal kechatzi zayis. If he ate half olive quantities of forbidden material, the Mishnah tells us that if it's half quantities of the same substance, so then he would be chayav. He'd be obligated, because two halves equals a whole olive quantity. The Gemara comments on that case, Mimin Echad Chayov. If he ate two half olive quantities of one type of prohibition, of chilev, for example, so he's obligated to bring a sacrifice. Pshita, that would seem obvious. Before going on in the Gemara, we have some structural business to deal with. So on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei heading, you notice we've written, Ochal Shnei Chatzoi Zesim. He eats two half olive quantities. Mimin Echad Chayov, Mishnei Minim Potter. If it's two halves of the same prohibition, he'll be obligated to bring a sacrifice. And if it's two half olive quantities, but of each half is a different prohibited substance, he's Potter. We also talk about the topic of Tamchuyin Mechalkin. Tamchuyin is a reference to different methods of food preparation. You have roasting, frying, boiling, different methods. And if you have two different methods of preparation, even if they're of the same food item or the same prohibition, they would be considered two separate things, two separate elements. And you have to apply that accordingly. Under the Mivneh heading, you'll notice this trapezoid form is used to highlight the expression pshita, which you'll see appears a couple of times in our discussion, which would mean it's obvious. Pshita represents a question. It's whatever you were telling me is obvious. What do I need to be taught that point for? And a double underline with dots in it will be highlighting Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Tutini, where Reish Lakish quotes Bar Tutini in response to the question of Pshita. Later, we'll also be using a double underline to highlight the example of Shnei Tamchuyin. The bow tie that you see will be highlighting the word Alma, which in this case is Maskonos Shonos Shnei HaLashonos. There are two different conclusions based on the two different versions we will see in the Gemara. We have an Aleph version and an Ikod Yomar Beis version. So there will be two different results based on these two different versions. Im Omar Rabbi Yeshua Ez Dino Tamchuyin Mechalkin. Does Rabbi Yeshua say his din, that different methods of food preparation result in individualizing or separating into different or separate korbonas? We will then analyze, does Rabbi Yeshua say his din of Tamchuyin Mechalkin Rak lechumra, only if saying thusly results in a stringency, or possibly bain lekula bain lechumra, whether it results in a leniency or a stringency. All of this is a bit abstract until we get into the Gemara, but what we try to do with our introduction is to show that there's a certain structure that you will see in the Gemara, and as we go through the Gemara, try to appreciate it. We left off with the question of pshita. If a person had eaten two half quantities of the same prohibition, they would join up to obligate him in bringing a sacrifice. That would seem to be obvious. So Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Tutini. Bar Tutini is a name. Reish Lakish quotes him and says, Kigon she'ochloi b'shnei tamchuyin, v'aliba d'Rabbi Yeshua d'Omar tamchuyin mechalkin. There's a Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Yeshua who says that tamchuyin, different methods of food preparation, are mechalek. Now, the simple example of that would be if a person ate an olive quantity of chalev that was cooked and a second olive quantity of chalev that was roasted. So it's the same type of food substance, but it's with a different method of preparation, and he ate the two in one state of lack of awareness. Rabbi Shua would say, Mechalkin, that even though it's under one state of lack of awareness, and even though it's two different methods of, and it's the same substance, nevertheless, since it's two different methods of preparation, that is mechalik. That causes the need for separate sacrifices, individual sacrifices. So we know Rabbi Yeshua to have said that point, Tamchuyin Mechalkin. Reish Lakish tells us that our Mishnah is being taught according to Rabbi Yeshua. Mahu detema, I might have thought, without our Mishnah, ki Omer Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua's din of Tamchuyin Mechalkin, lo shna lekula, velo shna lechumra. He will always say his din, even if it results in a leniency. We've dashed underlined it because this is the main point. What would the leniency case have been? Well, two half olive quantities prepared, each half olive quantity prepared in a different way, that they would not join up. Because mechalkin means separates. Well, if I say separates when it comes to half quantities, separation means they won't join up to complete the quantity required for a sacrifice. So I might have thought that Rabbi Yeshua sticks to his analysis of Tamchuyin Mechalkin under all circumstances. Komash Malon Dechayov. I therefore have our Mishnah, thanks to Reish Lakish's interpretation, comes along and tells me that no, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say Tamchuyin Mechalkin across the boards. He says only if it results in a stringency. If it would have resulted in a leniency, so under such circumstances, Rabbi Yeshua would concede that the Tamchuyin are not Mechalkin. And that is the case when you're dealing with two half quantities. If you say Mechalkin, so they won't join up and the guy will be, the offender will be innocent, will be exempt. Therefore, we need our Mishnah to tell us that even though the two Chatzoi Zesim of Chalev were prepared in different dishes or different forms, the offender will nevertheless be chayav a korban. Hence, we don't say under these circumstances tamchuyin mechalkin. Almo, the conclusion of this is lechumra omar lekulo lo omar. Rabbi Yeshua's analysis of tamchuyin mechalkin is only if it results in a stringency, not if it would result in a leniency. Iko di omar aseifa. There are those that take this discussion and apply it to the Seifa, where it mentioned, the Mishnah mentioned, Mishnei Minin Potter. If a person had consumed two half quantities of two separate of prohibited substances, a half olive, chatzi zayis of chelev, and a chatzi zayis of dam, half olive quantity of blood, so they won't join up, he'll be exempt. Samora says, Pshita, that would seem obvious. Omrei Shlokish Mishum Bar Tutini Kegoin She'ochloi B'shnei Tamchuyin. In a little later in the Gemara, we'll see that the Shnei Tamchuyin is really the interpretation of Shnei Minin, not like we said in our explanation, but that namely, half an olive of dam and a half olive of chelev, but rather the two minim, it means it's the same substance but prepared in two different dishes. However, the Gemara itself will build up to that later. So in the meantime, Reish Lakish tells us that we need our Mishnah to tell me that Mishnei Minin Potter, the case is where he ate it's really the same substance but prepared two different ways. And this is taught according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that methods of preparation could be responsible for division. I might have thought without this comment in the Mishnah, I would have thought that Rabbi Yeshua's din of Tamchuyin Mechalkin is stated Lechumra Omar Lekulu Lo Omar, that he said it only if it results in a stringency, but he wouldn't have said it if it would result in a leniency. Komash Malon Mishnei Minim Potter. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us the case of Shnei Minim, and he in fact will be exempt, which is a leniency. Two half quantities prepared in two different types of dishes won't join up, leading to an exemption. So that Rabbi Yeshua's approach to Tamchuyin Mechalkin is across the boards, whether it is a stringency or it results in a leniency. My mishnei minim, and what is the meaning of shnei minim? Mimin echad hu. It's really one substance. It's chelev, let us say. Two half quantities of chelev. Ve'amai kori lei shnei minim. Why does the Mishnah use the term two minim, two different kinds? Mishum de'achloi ke'ein shnei minim b'shnei tamchuyin. Because he ate it like, as if they were two different substances, insofar as they were prepared in different ways. In other words, in reality, different kinds of food or different kinds of things eaten are prepared different ways. In this case, he happened to take the same substance and prepare it in two different methods. That is what is meant here of shnei minim, the katani potter. And the Mishnah teaches us that, according to Rabbi Yeshua, he'll be exempt. Alma, from here, the conclusion would be, lo yishno lekula, v'lo yishno lechumra, ko'omar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua's din of tamchuyin mechalkin is said across the boards, whether it be a result in a leniency, as is the case with the half quantities, and v'lo yishno lechumra, as is the case with full olive quantities, two olive quantities of chelev, one roasted and one boiled. Tamchuyin Mechalkin will say then a stringency. He'll have to bring two separate korbanos, even though he may have eaten the two in one state of lack of awareness. The Gemara goes on. Midaseifa min echad ushnei tamchuyin. Maybe before we go on, just to review an element of the markings, the first bow tie form you see here had the conclusion concerning Rabbi Yeshua was Lechumra Omar Lekula Lo Omar. The second version of this discussion had the bow tie conclusion reading Lo Shno Lekula V'Lo Shno Lechumra Ko Omar Rabbi Yeshua. Namely, that Rabbi Yeshua says his din of Tamchuyin Mechalkin, even if it does lead to a leniency. The first bow tie said, represented a conclusion that was somewhat, that was different. Now our Gemara continues, Midaseifa min echad ushnei tamchuyin, from the fact that the seifa of the Mishnah is a reference to, when it said shnei minim, it really means one substance, but prepared two different ways. Resha, the resha of the Mishnah that said mimin echad chayov, must be min echad v'tamchui echad. It's the two zeisechelev, the two chatzoi zeisechelev, two half quantities of chelev, but both of them prepared the same way. Well, pshita, that would be obvious. It would be obvious that two half olive quantities that were of chelev that were both roasted, that would join up and mechayev him. Omar Ravina, kagon shahoisa lo yediyo beintayim valibadram liel. The Mishnah's case in the ratio of min echad v'tamchui echad, two half quantities of the same substance prepared the same way, and his being exempt is talking about a case where he had knowledge between the first and second half zayas quantity, discovered that he had eaten a half zayas quantity, and the Mishnah has a chiddush because it is taught according to the Mishnah represents shitas Rabban Gamliel, the Omar ein yediyah lechatzi shiur. The concept of yediyah we've mentioned already a few times is the awareness after having violated something. And when you're dealing with complete quantities, full quantities or full olive quantities of forbidden substance, the fact that you might have repeated the same offense but had knowledge between each offense, that generates the need for a new korban. However, if we're talking about awareness between the eating of half quantities, that awareness is of no significance, of no consequence. In other words, ein yediyah lechatzi shiur would mean that even if you did have awareness, it's like you didn't have any awareness whatsoever. That being the case, that's the point of our Mishnah, of two half quantities of chalev both being roasted, and he became aware between each one, still he is chayav in a sacrifice, because the knowledge that he had between the two half quantities doesn't serve to split them apart, to separate them, and they will join up. The Snan, this is illustrated in the following Tanaic source from Maseches Shabbos, HaKosev Shtei Oisius B'Shtei Halomos, a person who writes two letters on Shabbos is the violation of Maleches Kosev, the forbidden activity of writing. So let us say he wrote two letters, but each one in a separate state of awareness. In other words, after having written one letter, he then discovered, oh, I wrote a letter on Shabbos. And then he goes ahead and forgets himself and writes a second letter. Letter is in terms of alphabet, letters of the alphabet. And he does this b'shtei halomos, achas shachris v'achas arvis, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Rav Gamliel mechayev v'chomim potrin. Rav Gamliel says that even though there was a point of awareness between these two individual letters, he still will be chayev. Rav Gamliel savar ein yedia l'chatzi shiur, that the knowledge that one had regarding a less than minimum quantity, in the case of Shabbos and writing, the minimum shiur, the minimum quantity, is two letters. So in our case, where he wrote one letter and then had this discovery or awareness of having done the singular letter, that discovery is considered as if it wasn't at all. And hence the two letters that he drew will be able to join up to complete the minimum shear, the minimum quantity for the Shabbos violation, namely the writing of two letters. Rabbonon, who said he is exempt, Savri, they hold Yesh Yediyah Lechatzi Shiur. The fact that he became aware after having written one letter, that is an awareness, and it serves to separate the second letter that's written later from joining up with the first. Continuing now with the Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Machloikis Tanoim Im Yesh Yediyah Lechatzi Shiur. We'll see a Tanaic controversy. Actually, we should retract it, that we saw already, the Tanaic controversy between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim regarding the issue of knowledge concerning partial quantities, interim knowledge between partial quantities. The new topic heading, the Nosei here, is Shiur Zman Kedei Shitzdarev Chatzor Shiur Kedei Lechayev Ha'oichlon. Is there a time factor, or what is the time factor, concerning one who eats partial quantities? Let us say that between the two half olive quantities that he ate, there was a great deal of time lapse. Does that affect the ability of the two half quantities to join up? To join up and hence obligate him in a sacrifice. The Mishnah. Kamo yisheh, how much time can be delayed between the two half olive quantities in order for them to still join up? So the first approach, that of Rabbi Meir, he says, Ki'ilu oichel kloyus, divrei Rabbi Meir. The Gemara will focus on this, trying to clarify what it means, but the translation would be that it must be eaten the way that someone eats kloyos. Kloyos are roasted grains. It's like, you know, popping little seeds into one's mouth. So the way that one eats kloyos, if he ate the two half quantities in a similar fashion, it'll join up. V'chachomim omrim, ad sh'yishem mitchila v'ad soif, kedei achilas pras, chayav. Achilas pras Pras is a quantity, a certain quantity, and it's explained more elaborately in Maseches Erevin. It is the quantity of four eggs, four egg quantity. So that the Chachamim say that if there was a longer time lapse in the eating of these two half olive quantities, longer than the time it would take to eat four eggs, then he would be exempt. But if he ate the two halves within that amount of time of Kedei Achilas Arba Beitzim, so they would, the two halves would join together to create a complete shear, which will then generate the need for a sacrifice. Ochal Oichlin Temein, one who ate ritually impure foods. What happens in such a case is that midrabbanan, the person becomes tamei. It's called tumas haguf, and he cannot eat truma afterwards. V'shasa mashkin tameim, a person who drank liquids that were tamei. Shasa revias yayin v'nichnas lemikdash, if a person drank a revias, is a certain quantity of wine, and then entered the Beis HaMikdash, v'shaha kidei achilas pras chayav, and he delayed there the amount of time to eat four eggs, he would be guilty of entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of a state of intoxication, which is there is a prohibition in doing so, in entering as a shosu yayin. So that this shiur, by the way, of shihia, of delaying there for the amount of time to eat four eggs, this is a reference to the point, or this last example of shosu revias yayin. Rabbi Lezer Omer, im posak bo, oy im nosan boy mayim kolshu potter. Regarding the case of shosa revias yayin, Rabbi Lezer says if he posak bo means he didn't drink it in one gulp, in one slurp, he broke it up. That's posak bo. He would not be chayev for entering the Beis HaMikdash as a shosu yayin. Or if he added water to it, even any amount, that would also lower the level of violation. And hence he wouldn't be chayev. The Gemara opens up with a question, focusing on the Rabbi Meir's shiur zman, Rabbi Meir's time description, regarding the two half quantities of forbidden substance, of chalev, if you will, and under what circumstances will they join up. So he said, kilu oichel kloyos. Now the Gemara wants to analyze, what does he mean by that? On the outside margin, we have a nosei mivne heading, where we feature this crown shape, which highlights the words lechumra, and later the o dilma, which is later on, is lekula. So the structure of this question is, it's a o dilma b situation. The o dilma, you can see, is squiggle underlined, four lines from the bottom, right before the second crown shape. And under our note, on the outside margin, where the crown shape is featured, you see lechumra and lekula in quotation marks. Those have been chosen as the words we highlight. Biur shitas Rabbi Meir, haim hu mekil o imachmir legabi hachachomen. Is Rabbi Meir coming to be stringent, or strict, versus the Chachamim, or lenient? Now, the Gemara. Ibai aloho. Rabbi Meir lechumra komar o lekula komar. Oh, we should note that this is a long question. It takes you down to the bottom line of the Gemara. This you can see by the shin that's been encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. So, do we say as follows, L'chumra ka'omar, the hochi katoni. Rabbi Meir is posing a stringency upon our subject who's eating two half olive quantities. The hochi katoni. And thusly, Rabbi Meir says his point. Hilu oichel kloyos, we view him as if he's eating roasted grains, the afilu kule yoima, even if he eats the two half zesim over the course of an entire day, the afagav de mitchila viat sof yoisir michdei achilas pras, even though from the beginning to the end of his eating of these two half olive quantities, it takes longer than the amount of time to eat four eggs, kevon de mashche achilase mechayev. Since he is eating in this continuous fashion, he will be chayev. That's the first side of the analysis, and we glance at Rashi lechumra ki ilu ocha kloyes achas achas besomach zu lezu. We view him as if he were someone eating roasted grains one after the other. Bahu misharim shimochal kachatzi zayis vehifsik ulachas shochal chatzi zayis acher. If he ate a half quantity now and an hour later he ate the other half quantity, af im sha mitkhila viat sof yoisim khdei khilas koy sachas sachas besomach zu lezu, even though he may have waited enough time, a long time. In other words, in a long time is described here as someone who would eat grains one after the other. They're very small, so he's eating one after the other. Nevertheless, and to eat one grain one after the other, one by one, it would take a long time to finish all of that eating. Nevertheless, mitstarfin v'afilu havi hai shiura kuliyomo, even if it's over the course of an entire day. So the description of the grain eating here is someone who is eating individual grains one after the other, and in order to complete a quantity of grains like that, it would take a long time to eat. It's we'll call it a style of eating, a fashion of eating that's used to describe a period of time. So that even if he would eat the two half zesim over a long period of time, what this approach looks at only is the final quantity eaten, not the time factor in which they are eaten. Now that would be a stringency, that even though it's taking him a long time to complete the full zayas quantity of chalev, he nevertheless will be chayev. The Omru Le Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, are saying, the Ad Sheyishe B'chdei Achilas Prasu D'chayev. Unless he finishes it within that amount of time of four eggs, only then will he be chayev. Yoyser mechdei achilas pras poter, but if it takes him longer than that, he will be exempt. In other words, the two chatzoy zesi chaylev that he ate won't join up to complete the quantity. Oy dilma lekula komar. Or maybe Rabbi Meir's reference to the kloyos is a leniency. Da achi katani. Thusly, Rabbi Meir maybe is teaching. Ki'ilu ocha kloyos, the description of the person eating the shnei zeis echelev is someone as if he's eating roasted grains. V'hu delo ifsik beini ubeini, provided there was no break in his eating. In other words, he ate one half olive quantity and then immediately ate the other half. Like is characteristic of one eating these small roasted grains, he pops one after the other into his mouth. Avol de ifsik beini ubeini, if he took a break between them, afagav de mitchila v'yatzof b'chtei achilas pras poter, even though he ate the full olive quantity in the two halves rather quickly, meaning within this time span of k'dei achilas pras, within the time span of the what would take a person to eat four eggs worth. Nevertheless, since he took a break between the two half olive quantities, he will be potter, he'll be exempt. The Amru Le Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would be responding strictly. Since from the beginning till the end of his eating of these two half olive quantities, it took him no more than the amount of time to eat four eggs, he will be chayav. So once again, to summarize, the question simply is Rabbi Meir coming to offer an opinion of stringency? Or an approach, an opinion of leniency? The Gemara answers, and now this answer takes a few lines to develop. You can see we have a long answer marking, and it takes you down, Omid Beis, five lines down the top. Toshma, we quote a Tanaic source, the Chachamim Omrim, from our Mishnah, and they said, Ad Shigisha Bechtei Achilas Pras Mitchilo V'yad Sof. There is no guilt until he completes the two half zaysim, we'll say rather quickly. Rather quickly means within the time frame of Kedei Achilas Pras. So now from the language, from the choice of words here, we can figure the Chachomim's position relative to Rabbi Meir, and hence resolve what Rabbi Meir was trying to do. E amers bishlamo Rabbi Meir l'chumra. If you say that Rabbi Meir was coming to be strict, hainu dikotoni ad shiyishet. The Chachomim were saying a point of leniency, that the person will not be guilty unless he does it rather quickly. Ad deshohi delay b'chtei achilas pras. There will be no guilt, according to the Chachamim, until he eats it within this time frame. Oh, so if that's what the Chachamim are saying, they're basically saying they're responding to Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say there is no guilt until this, so Rabbi Meir, when he said k'dei achilas klayos, must have been saying a point of stringency, namely that there is guilt even if it takes him a long time, even if it's over a span of an entire day that he eats those two half olive quantities of forbidden substance. Eloi amris Rabbi Meir lekula. If you say that Rabbi Meir was presenting a point of leniency, namely that there is no guilt unless the person eats the two half olive quantities, one right after the other, in a very swift fashion, then the language of the Chachamim should have been v'chachamim omrim im shaha miboyalei. Chachamim would have then said, if it took him the time of kedei achilas pras, that too would be mechayev him. But you don't see this language of im shaha. You rather you see ad shiyishe. From this linguistic difference, elolav shmamino Rabbi Meir lechumra shmamino. We see from here that Rabbi Meir represented the opinion of stringency. And it was to that the Chachamim reacted that you won't be chayav if you behaved like Rabbi Meir suggested, namely two zaysim over, even if it's over the course of a whole day, but you will be chayav only if you ate them within the shiur zman of kedei achilas pras. So we see that Rabbi Meir represented with his example of the eating of roasted grains, represented an opinion of stringency. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.